Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
And welcome, everyone, to tonight's live installment of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards, and we're kicking off a brand new year here in the world's most foremost populist radio program. Again, welcome to the show. It's been a day for me today, boys. I have been tied up. Well, I say tied up as if it was a chore, but with a wedding all day. My cousin got married, and I was in the wedding party, and I don't know about you, but it's an exhausting thing. The rehearsal last night and all day today, and I mean all day, from before noon all the way till about an hour ago, coming in here on two wheels, a little exhausted, but thank God I've got a co-host like Bill Rowland, the man who makes the big bucks, to co-host the show with me, spelling me a little bit tonight as I get my bearings adjusted. Bill, how are you tonight?
James, I've got on my Afro wig, a pair of tap shoes, and fresh, clean underwear. I'm ready for the inauguration.
Hey, it's exciting. Well, yeah, that's coming up later this month. Let's not forget that. And, of course, here we are. You know, we had a great show last week. I know you were only on for the last third of it, the last hour, in which we recounted our top 10 moments in 2008. Here we are tonight, Bill, ringing in the new year, a couple of days after the official beginning of this year, but it's our first show in 2009. A lot of challenges that we faced this year. Certainly, this is going to be another year in the history of the political cesspool, and each of our previous four have been very tumultuous, to say the least, but in a good way, if tumultuous, if that can be good, a good thing. But it's been exciting, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And this year will prove to be no different. And, yeah, we're going to have a lot to talk about this month, the inauguration being one of those things. And we've got a lot to talk about tonight, too. Reverend Ted Pike is going to be on later in the show tonight. Ted Pike, one of our favorite guests. I do believe that the good Reverend has logged more appearances on this program than any single guest in the history of the show, and for good reason. He's got a lot of good things to say. Well, maybe not good things, but things you need to know about. And Ted is actually going to be on tonight during our third hour to tell us what we might can expect on the front of hate crimes legislation this year. We've beaten it back time and time again over the last several years. What's it going to look like? What are the prospects for the passage of the so-called hate crimes legislation now that we have Barack Obama coming into office, as Bill just made mention of, and his Democratic supermajority in Washington, D.C.? Well, Ted Pike's going to answer those questions and let us know what we can do to help continue to defeat that Orwellian thought crime legislation. And for the first hour and a half tonight, we are going to be talking about different issues and taking your phone calls. Bill, you know, with only one night a week for this show, a lot of stuff comes up. It comes and goes in politics, and we got to carefully pick what we want to spend our time talking about on the show. And I think you would agree with me, Bill, in saying that we have selected what I believe it's some really salacious material for the audience tonight.
Well,
we got about 10 seconds. There's not much Bill Rowland can say. Bill Rowland's still adjusting his safety belt, tightening the harness, as it were, for the show tonight. So I've rambled for 5 minutes. How about that? We got to go to break. When Bill and I return, well, just stay tuned. You'll find out. The political cesspool continues right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
'77 Sunset Strip.
You never know when an emergency will strike. Whether it's a hurricane, tornado, blizzard, or earthquake, everyone listening to me right now could find themselves without food and power with little or no advance warning. With over 14 years' experience, Ready Made Resources stands ready to assist you to be prepared. The Katahdin Vario Microfilter is a lightning-fast water filtering system that removes waterborne bacteria and cysts, and it also improves the taste of water. Ready Made Resources carries Mountain House Foods, the number one lightweight, compact, great-tasting food choice that you should have stored away as part of your emergency preparedness kit. There's free shipping on both of these items. For more information, go online at www.readymaderesources.com or call toll-free 1-800-627-3809. Ready Made Resources is here to help you be prepared.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Personal information should stay personal, but the growth of contactless ID cards, passports, and credit cards, and the proliferation of RFID has caused an increased threat to sensitive personal information, with the risk potential for RFID-enabled contactless cards to be read without your permission. Introducing Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder products from Identity Stronghold. If you have a credit, debit, or transit card with a contactless smart card system, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have an employee ID, proximity card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have a government employee PIV, CAC, or TWIT card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you received your passport within the last 2 years, you need Identity Stronghold. Identity Stronghold Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder create a barrier to RF signals necessary to power and communicate with RFID-enabled smart cards and passports. Protect your personal information. Visit IDStronghold.com today or phone 800-610-2770 because personal information should stay personal.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
You have the number. Give us a call. Anytime you feel froggy, just jump in the cesspool tonight, this Saturday, January 3rd, 1-800-313-9443. We're going to open up the phone lines for the first hour and a half of tonight's program. We got a lot to talk to you about. But before we get into it, I want to say again very quickly congratulations to Nikki and Steven on their marriage today. I really am blessed to have a very close-knit family. I love them very much. I was proud to have played a small role in you know, the wedding party today, and God bless you all, and good luck in the future to that. That's what we're all about, Bill, here in the cesspool: God, family, and the Republic. But this being the political cesspool, we can't focus on feel-good stuff all night because there is a lot to complain about, and there's nothing that I like to complain about more. Well, there's two things, my two biggest pet peeves, one of which we talked about last week during that second hour, these religious charlatans like Rick Warren trying to fit in with the in crowd, trying to, you know, giving the inauguration invocation at, you know, Barack Obama's shindig coming up, and in order to placate the false gods of political correctness, taking off the scriptures from his church websites that condemn homosexuality because he was catching heat from the media. Stuff like that really sticks under my craw, but not any more than the Republican Party and their ceaseless pandering to the people that will never, ever vote for them and never have. Here's the latest of which I'm talking about. Just this week, the Republican National Committee issued an official apology to Negroes And before any hypersensitive and overzealous diversity calls in and complains about my choice of wording, that is exactly the title of the press release. And here it is. I'll read it for you. Just after the news broke that former Tennessee GOP leader Chip Saltzman had released a song parody entitled Brock the Magic Negro, the Republican National Committee issued what it called an official apology to Americans' Negroes, quote-unquote. In the statement, the RNC ripped Saltzman's song, calling it tone-deaf, unacceptable, and offensive to every Negro in the country, end quote. We don't want one ill-considered song parody to create the wrong impression, the Republican National Committee statement read. The Republican Party has always been and will always be the friend of the Negro. But while the RNC's official statement was designed to quell the outrage surrounding Mr. Saltzman's song, it may have created a controversy of its own. Just hours after releasing the official apology, the RNC issued a second apology, apologizing for the first apology. And I quote from the press release, it has come to our attention that we misused a word in our first apology, the RNC statement read. We should have capitalized Negro. Bill, you just can't make this stuff up.
Have you ever noticed that when blacks are arrested, that usually they have two or three different names, you know, including a different last name, or whenever you read an obituary of someone black in the newspaper, they have two or three different names. Well, the same is true of the entire race. And honestly, you know, there's the United Negro College Fund. Well, I guess if Negroes no longer exist, we need to get rid of the fund. And, of course, the NAACP is the National Association for Colored People. And then African American and black are still in general use. So, I mean, there's an identity crisis here to begin with. But, of course, this is not about the identity crisis among blacks. It's about Republicans trying to be as politically correct as possible. Now, I mentioned to you, James, that the man who wrote that song, and I think sang it on this album, his name is Paul Shanklin. And, of course, he's been on the Rush Limbaugh show for years doing his impressions of Bill Clinton and George Bush and other people. He's an excellent mimic. And he's from our hometown here. But, you know, this song has been around for a long, long time. It's nothing new. It's nothing that's just appeared out of, you know, some dark recess of the Republican Party. It's been around a long time. And Rush Limbaugh's played it regularly. The point is, it's only now an embarrassment to the Republicans as we head into the inauguration.
And
of course, one person
really
who hasn't complained about it is Barack Obama. But let me say this also, that all
sure.
of these words are still out there because the woman who is now considered the oldest woman in the world lives here in the United States. Her name is Gertrude Bain. She is, of course, black, and she has stated in one of the many press conferences she's having now because of her age that she's glad that a colored man finally got elected president. So what words should we use? Why is this so offensive? It's only offensive because the Republicans have got a chapped behind over losing this election, and they're doing everything they can to make sure that they don't lose any more votes to the Democrats.
Well, but they're going to continue to lose votes to the Democrats because, you know, here's the thing. And first of all, let me backtrack just very briefly and say that if people are wondering why the story is in the news, it's because there apparently is a race inside the Republican Party for the chairmanship of the RNC. One of the candidates running for Republican Party national chairman, you know, released this CD to I guess people who he thought would vote for him, and then the other guy running was behind this issuance of the apology. But I want to tell the Republican Party about this group of people. They're called middle class European Americans, particularly white Christian Southerners. And these are the only, you know, this is the Republican Party's most loyal voting base. And as Pat, you know, we were talking with Pat Buchanan on this very show about this very issue. The Republican Party continues to do everything they can to alienate the only people who consistently vote for them. And at the same time, do everything they can to pander to folks that have never and will never vote for them. And that's what it's all about to me. Not that I lament the fact that the Republican Party is going nowhere fast. It's just that the Democrats are so backwards. I mean, Bill, you know what I'm trying to get at here. I mean, the Republican Party is certainly no friend of paleoconservatives, but there was at least something there at one time that was appealing to our people. But you see now, that, I mean, they are trying to become what? I mean, a slightly less liberal version of the Democratic Party? I mean, what are they doing here? I mean, whatever they're doing is not going to be successful, I can tell you that. But it's a ongoing phenomenon that you see all of their national talking heads saying, we got to do more to get the non-white vote. Well, they're not going to be able to do it. The blacks and the Hispanics aren't falling for this, and they shouldn't.
The Republican Party has never won a single race by campaigning as the party of multiculturalism, inclusion, and tolerance. They've never won a single race in anything, for governor, in Congress, in the Senate, never won a single race on that campaign issue. And yet, they feel obligated to continue to throw themselves at this altar as if bleeding on it enough is going to win them some kind of overwhelming support from the American people. The American people don't support this agenda. In fact, in most cases, the Democrats try to cast a shadow, or at least keep in the background, many of the issues like gay rights and the right queers to marry and all of these other issues. They try to keep that on the back burner, keep it out of sight, and they only bring it up when they're in power. So it's not even a campaign issue in most cases for Democrats, unless they're on the left coast. What's the point?
And the Republicans are never going to compete again in a national election unless they start embracing the issues of the people, those left of them that they are, the issues that they carry. Look at what the Republicans have done. They have betrayed their base on every issue of importance, be it foreign policy or trade or immigration or affirmative action. Any issue that is of importance to the people that consistently vote Republican, the Republicans are doing everything they can to go against them and then nominating candidates like Bob Dole and John McCain. I mean, as I said with Dr. Paul Godfrey on this program, it really appears as though the Republican Party is trying to disembowel themselves. And that brings us to Charles Barkley, Bill. I know, people are going to wonder, well, what does Charles Barkley have to do with this? Well, first of all, let me tell you what is happening lately with Charles Barkley. He was arrested again just recently for a DUI, but his excuse for running the red light and driving while intoxicated was he was chasing a girl so he could get oral sex. And the point is, the Republican Party, Rush Limbaugh in particular, have been pandering to guys not like Charles Barkley, Charles Barkley himself. They say this is the future of the party. If Charles Barkley ran for governor, we would get behind him with all of our support. Rush Limbaugh even vowed to serve as Charles Barkley's campaign manager, for God's sake. I mean, come on. What is the matter with these people, Bill?
That was back in 1993. And as I say, of course, it was Rush Limbaugh who broadcast Barack the Magic Negro on his program for months before the election. And so this is just the more grandstanding by Rush Limbaugh, who doesn't know what he's doing. He just thinks that he's got somebody's pulse, and he reacts to that. He reacts to whatever is the current fad and trend that he thinks is going to win him an audience. I can remember back when Pat Buchanan ran the first time, he gave sort of a ho-hum endorsement to Pat Buchanan, endorsed everything Pat Buchanan said. But then when the Republican Party shifted course, and it was clear they were shifting course, he abandoned Pat Buchanan altogether. So Rush Limbaugh is not an accurate indicator of anything that has to do with politics. He's just a mouthpiece. He's an entertainer. And I don't think he should be taken seriously at all. But as far as
you would never see Rush Limbaugh talking about issues such as this. I mean, have you ever heard Rush Limbaugh saying, we're coming close to break, we got some callers on the line, we're going to get to those at the top of the next segment. And by the way, if you want to call in, 1-800-313-9443 is the number. But I think, Bill, this is why this show is becoming so increasingly popular, why the political cesspool is becoming increasingly popular while folks continue to abandon more traditional media outlets, is because we're talking about the issues that people agree with. We're talking about the issues that are on people's mind, and we're doing it in a way that's very frank and candid, and that's what is sorely lacking on radio and in newspapers and on television today. Thanks to RBN and shows like this, we're beginning to give people a voice that they didn't have. We've got to go to break. We'll be back right after this, and we'll continue along this line.
Right after these messages. Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
If you can handle the truth, pick up a copy of Plain Truth by John Tate, a concise critique of contemporary American government for its refusal to acknowledge our true origins as a Western Christian nation. Plain Truth will inform and inspire readers who are eager to partake in the long and difficult process necessary to restore the American Republic. As citizens of this great republic, we can perform no more important task than realizing our duty to preserve our unique culture, heritage, and people despite a formidable foe within our own nation. Read Plain Truth and you'll discover the importance of identifying the cause, exploring the consequences, and discovering solutions to our unfortunate situation. The debate must shift toward a focus upon culture, history, and nationalism. Plain Truth by John Tate proves that racial diversity and Republican government are incompatible with one another. Plain Truth by John Tate is available through Amazon, Target, Borders, and Barnes & Noble bookstores. Let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys. So today, I'll
be standing right by his. Thank you, Art Frith, for that. James Edwards and Bill Rowland back here with you, everyone, on the Political Cesspool radio program this, the third evening of January 2009. Brand new year, same great show here on RBN. Now, we are going to tell you of another story that undoubtedly you haven't heard of before. It's a local story. We're going to talk about that in just a moment, but first we want to take a couple of calls, the first one being Anton in Pennsylvania. How are you doing tonight? Thanks for holding the line. Oh, he's gone. Never mind. Anton, if you're there and you waited, obviously you were too patient. You waited too long. Give us a call back, and that goes for everyone else, 1-800-313-9443. Let me say this, though, going back to what we were talking about in the first segment. I mean, certainly I'm not for anyone being insensitive or going out of their way to offend anyone. But by God, there's got to be some sort of an entity or organization, radio program, what have you, that speaks for the majority of the people in this country. And there's just not, except for ours, except for this show. I mean, you could probably count the other organizations that are doing good work on behalf of European Americans on your fingers and toes. And there's nothing wrong for standing up for your cultural heritage. But Bill, I know you wanted to talk about a local story very quickly. We have a couple of minutes here. Again, a story that folks just aren't going to hear about on programs other than this one.
The story involves the abduction rape and attempted murder of a young couple in the University of Memphis area by three black perpetrators who are allegedly the ones who committed this crime. And these two people, presumably they were students at the university, were living in apartments that are, generally used or generally occupied by students. But now this was an apartment complex that was recently built, an apartment building that was recently built, has state-of-the-art security, has a security gate around the parking, and yet still three black thugs are able to slip in past all the security, haul two young people out, carry them out to a remote location, rape the girl, attempt to kill the boy, and are captured. But nevertheless, this is not a story you're going to hear on national news. This is not a story that is going to be big news about a hate crime, about a horrible crime against two young people, presumably white. Nevertheless, it is a story with a racial dimension. Now, we're going to compare this to the next story that we had, I think, in the lineup for this show, and that is dealing with the Gen of Six. The Gen of Six being the black high school students in Gen of Louisiana who were being punished because they beat a white student senseless over the display of a noose. And you know, this whole Gen of Louisiana incident was really concocted by the media, was grossly exaggerated, blown out of proportion, which of course led to a 20,000 person march by blacks down there to protest the injustice. There was no injustice. The only victim was a white kid. But the point is, now one of the Gen of Six has apparently attempted suicide, and it's big news all over the country.
Yeah, and let me just read the story there, Bill, since you are making this comparison and this this contrast to the story that we just talked about. You know, and I was lucky enough to have been on CNN where they actually brought to light one of the most horrific examples of this double standard. The double standard actually got a little exposure, that being the Channing Christian Christopher Newsom ordeal in Knoxville, Tennessee, another incident, as well as the Gen of Six incident that was well documented on this program. But very rarely do hate crimes perpetrated against whites ever reach the light of day. Certainly the story that you mentioned a moment ago, I didn't see the light of day, but this one did. I want to read the story, just the first paragraph. You already set the table, Bill. We all remember the Gen of Six situation and what these thugs did. Now, here's the story. The thug is the good guy, of course, in the story by the Associated Press. Here's the first paragraph.
He's the victim.
One of the central figures in the 2006 Gen of Six civil rights case never gave up pursuing his football career, even after his well-publicized run-ins with the law. Michael Bell, an 18-year-old high school running back, clung to the hope that he could earn a college football scholarship. Then came another legal scrape this Christmas Eve. After news broke of his arrest on a shoplifting charge, Bell shot himself in the chest with a .22-caliber shotgun. Handgun. Excuse me. So, there you go. There you have it.
He's the hero.
He is the victim of misfortune at the hands of public scrutiny. I don't know. We don't have a lot of time to really get into it right now because we've got to go and take our commercial break here in a second. But just ponder upon that paragraph that I just read and the way that the media goes out of its way to propagandize who this guy is. We'll pick it up on the other side. We got a lot of calls to take, too. The political cesspool continues right after this on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Here we come, walking down the street. We get the funniest looks.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
And people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264. And johnglia.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Personal information should stay personal, but the growth of contactless ID cards, passports, and credit cards, and the proliferation of RFID has caused an increased threat to sensitive personal information, with the risk potential for RFID-enabled contactless cards to be read without your permission. Introducing Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder products from Identity Stronghold. If you have a credit, debit, or transit card with a contactless smart card system, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have an employee ID, proximity card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have a government employee PIV, CAC, or TWIC card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you received your passport within the last 2 years, you need Identity Stronghold. Identity Stronghold Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder create a barrier to RF signals necessary to power and communicate with RFID-enabled smart cards and passports. Protect your personal information. Visit IDStronghold.com today or phone 800-610-2770 because personal information should stay personal.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Picking up where we left off, and we have several callers on the line. I appreciate you being patient. We're going to get to you in just a second. But picking up where we left off with regards to this Gina Six fellow being back in the news, Michael Bell, he was pretty much the main one that was always talked about when this was news back in the day. But talking about, and by the way, every item or topic that we bring to light on this program, you can also read about in more detail on our blog at our official website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We don't talk about anything on here unless we have done the research to ourselves. It's well-researched and factual. As factual as we can possibly ensure it to be. So, anyway, back to this story. You see here, Bill and everyone else, that the media is trying to create some sort of a public impression or generate some public sympathy for this thug because, well, in fact, the title of the article was Gina Six Teen Shot Himself Out of Despair, because he's just, again, this poor downtrodden guy who, you know, yeah, he almost, with six of his other friends, you know, nearly beat a white kid to death because, well, for no reason at all, honestly, you know that. And they were the victims, of course, here, not the perpetrators. And now, after he got caught shoplifting, it just really sent him into despair, so much, in fact, that he had to attempt suicide. But keep in mind, he is, in fact, the victim here I guess because of hundreds and thousands of years of racism. I don't really know the point, Bill, but again, it's stories like these that make us continue to celebrate the fact that the newspapers are going out of business, and thank God for that. But Bill, take it away with that.
This article set a lie out from the very beginning, and that is the lie that his crimes were well publicized. Anyone who followed the Gina Six episode at all knows that their crimes were not well publicized. What the public knows is the crimes of these six thugs were covered up, and the incident involving the noose was grossly exaggerated, was blown entirely out of proportion, was highlighted, was put up in front of the entire United States as an example of racial intimidation and racial insensitivity. And yet anyone who goes back and reads exactly what happened in Jenna, Louisiana, knows perfectly well that there was almost no connection between the Jenna 6 and the noose and the beating of the white boy. They really had no connection with each other. The Jenna 6 were simply pulled up to be put in the place of Martin Luther King or the Wilmington 10 or some other group of blacks who committed crimes but then had to be made into martyrs. They simply were looking for martyrs in this thing. They were looking for victims. And so they picked six thugs who nearly beat a white boy to death to turn into, saints involving a noose that they never probably even saw. So this is an example of the media deliberately inciting and provoking attitudes about race that shouldn't even exist. Provoking hatreds, provoking anger, and then turning somebody like this thug into some sort of victim of despair. Oh, his despair, he's overcome by that because he didn't get a football scholarship to a university. Who cares? You know, he ought to be in prison. He should be in prison, and then he wouldn't have shot himself, right?
And the whole reason we bring this back up, first of all, it's in the news. It's a big news story over the course of the past week, and we like I said, we try to talk about as much breaking news as we can. But it's just to give once again the comparison and the contrast. This story, national news on the AP wire, about this poor man in despair for being caught shoplifting, and he tried to commit suicide. What you don't hear about is the story that Bill made mention of a few minutes ago about the horrific hate crime here. In our local area, Memphis, never makes the light of day. But of course, they never do unless the crime fits that mythical stereotype of a time to kill. You know, the rednecks, cruising around drunk and trying to find young innocent black girls to harass and rape and kill.
Well, I've got a story about the town where a time to kill was filmed. The producer director of that movie went to the town in Mississippi where just a year before a horrific hate crime had been committed against a family of four, a white family, by two black perpetrators who murdered the entire family, four of them. And the father, the mother, and the two children. The girl was 9 years old who was murdered. She was raped repeatedly. The mother was raped repeatedly. They killed the whole family slowly and then burned their put them in their house and burned the house down. Now, this is a crime that actually occurred down there. This director, whose name escapes me right now, went to that town deliberately to film this movie, knowing that racial tensions were high there. And he brings this concocted fiction.
And the time to kill, let's be, make sure everyone's aware of the fact this was a complete work of fiction. Not only did that not happen there in Canton or wherever it was filmed, it's never happened probably ever.
No. I mean, there's absolutely, I defy anybody to go back and look through the history of Mississippi in the last 70 years and try to find just such a case. You're not going to find one. What you're going to find, however, in the last 20 years is case after case after case of white victims of black crime, of black terror, and of black hatred. Just like I described to you that these four white people murdered by two blacks. Two blacks, by the way, that they had hired not because they needed them, to work around the house, but because they felt sorry for them. These white people had hired these two black monsters because they thought they needed help. And what is their payback? They get murdered, raped, and burned some of them were at least one of the members of the family, they think, was burned alive in that house.
Yeah,
so,
but of course,
you know,
but the
point is that Hollywood goes there to exploit that kind of tension and that kind of real despair and real tragedy just so they can make a movie. They're heartless, no good devils out there, and they're part of the problem in this country for white Christians. Let's face it.
And I don't know what's worse, Bill, the fact that that occurs or the fact that so many people see it and agree with our sentiments on the matter, and yet we continue to be one of the very few people taking a public stand against this sort of behavior. But nevertheless, none of that was half as newsworthy this week as the despaired Michael Bell, who tried to commit suicide after he was once again arrested for breaking the law. A lot of phone calls piling up. Let's go back to Anton in Pennsylvania. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you well.
All right. I'd like to change the gears up here, talk about something else that's happening in the Middle East right now. I'm sure all of you guys are aware of that.
We are.
Are you talking about
the massacre that's taking place in the Middle East right now, and our tax dollars going to pay for that. That's what I'm talking about, and the whole world's pretty much sitting around, you know, and I'm not sure what's happening in this country, because if you talk to ordinary people, they'll tell you, oh, yeah, that's great. That's great that that's happening up there, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're all terrorists, kill them all. And it's just such
behavior. Yeah, just ask any well-attended church these days, and they'll tell you the same thing.
Well, I just don't know. I wasn't born here. So when can you guys tell me, when did this start happening, where this utmost completely irrelevant and unfound support for Israel start happening in this country? Why are all these people just completely blindly backing up Israel for everything they do, even those horrendous murders are happening there right now? I mean, they've been accused for using cluster bombs again. They've been accused of targeting schools, hospitals, civilian homes again. Got caught red-handed. Nothing happens, and people in the U.S. going, "Oh yeah, that's great."
All right. Well, okay. You're bringing up a very good point there, and it's something that obviously we've talked about quite a bit on this show. And you know, as a Christian, and this is a Christian program, all of the hosting staff is Christian, and I vehemently disagree with the church. I think that the seminaries have been infiltrated, just like all of our other institutions have been infiltrated. But I believe, Bill, what Anton is getting at is the origins of dispensationalism, the origins of this Israel First movement within the church that really wasn't there until a couple of decades ago, at least prominently. When did it all start, Bill? I guess that was his question. And how?
I think what you're saying is, when did the Judification, I guess we call it, of Christianity began? And the answer is that whenever it began is not so important as to when this process really took hold of Christianity, and that was after World War II, when the Jews who were being relocated to Palestine or who were returning from back to their countries of origin after the war began to imply that this was a problem for Christianity. It wasn't a problem for Jews and non-Jews. It was a problem that Christianity failed to solve. And so the solution was that Christian seminaries and Christian theologians should listen to what the Jews had to say about our failures as Christians in preventing their abuse and their displacement, etc. So that's really when it began, is when the Jews in the late 20th century began to assume moral superiority over Christians. Now let me go one step further with this. Okay, if that's the case, then Israel should be the role model for all Western countries. Israel should be the role model for the United States in terms of its laws, in terms of its customs, in terms of its practices as a government. If that's the case, then the United States needs to return to segregation. The United States needs to pass laws against intermarriage between whites and non-whites. The United States needs to begin bombing the border with Mexico. to prevent the incursion of these aliens into our territory. We need to be dropping cluster bombs along the U.S.-Mexican border. We need to be dropping napalm, because this is what the Israelis do.
And that
clearly
is exactly
they are exercising
how they conduct domestic policy in Israel. And isn't it interesting, Bill, that they understand what's right for their people, and they practice it, yet they being radical Zionist Jews, are the ones who are advocating for us Americans that which is absolutely going to destroy us. you don't have to wonder why they are doing that. I believe it's self-evident, but it is interesting when you see how they conduct life for themselves in Israel and then what they would want for us here in America. But a lot of callers piling up, and we've got some guests coming on later tonight, Ted Pike being one of the two. Let's go to Mike in Ohio. Mike, how are you? Thanks for being patient.
Hey, James. This is Mike again. Sorry about a couple weeks ago. I got disconnected, I think. But anyways, what I was about to say is that I remember you were saying a few weeks ago about Jörg Haider and how he was in a car accident, right? And later you said there might have been some sort of a misinvestigation or cover-up. Do you think this bears any similarities to what happened to Ian Stewart back in 1993? Because I remember one of the driver of the car with him in it was saying something about the steering wheel literally being ripped off his arm. Can you clarify it all?
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, it was I can take credit for a lot on this show, but it was actually Bill Rowland who presented that night on the program the very, very well-researched expose on the mysterious and untimely death of Jörg Haider. So, actually, Bill, I'd like you to take the question.
The question is whether there were similarities between Ian Stewart's death, Jörg Haider's, or, for that matter, Princess Diana's. The fact is, this fact is covered in the book by way of deception, is that the Mossad are experts at staging and orchestrating car wrecks. And anyone who goes back and does a step-by-step of, for instance, Princess Diana's death in the car accident in Paris, there's a mysterious disappearing car that was involved in the accident. A small, I think, Fiat, red Fiat was involved in that accident that just disappears. No one can find it. And in the case of Jörg Haider, there was some woman who apparently was involved indirectly in the accident, who witnessed the accident, who reported it, and then she just disappears. There's no trace of her anywhere now. Yet apparently she stated that she was at that intersection when Jörg Haider's car ran off the road and he was killed. There are many of these cases, but read the book by way of deception. And you will find in that there is an account of how the Israelis were able to orchestrate car wrecks to kill people. And the fact is that Haider's car being involved at such a late hour of the night, almost no witnesses except the mysterious woman who disappeared, there are too many unanswered questions. This is a route that all the friends of Jörg Haider said that he was always particularly cautious going through this town, going through down this particular road because of how treacherous the road was to him. He had had an accident there before, nearly had an accident there before. And so he was always very cautious at this particular part of his journey. And yet, his car flies wildly off the road going 90 miles an hour or something in excess of a speed that would kill him. It doesn't make sense. Also, the car he was driving, which was a Volkswagen Phaeton, is one of the safest cars in the world. And after the accident, Volkswagen dispatched a team to investigate this accident. We haven't heard anything back about that. We don't know what Volkswagen found.
But I tell you, a great question there from Mike in Ohio, and I remember that show fondly. As a matter of fact, I remember the conversation I had with you, Bill, in advance of that show. I don't remember the exact date, but it was obviously the very next show we had after the death of Haider. And I want to say it was in November, one of the shows in November. It's, of course, readily available in our broadcast archives, ladies and gentlemen. But listen to that show. Bill did a phenomenal job coming forth with a great presentation, great expose, in which he goes into a lot more detail about that, unfortunate, to say the least, death, and it goes into more detail with that which I think you were inquiring about, Mike. I know we only have about a minute before break, so we're going to take this next call and probably carry him over into the next segment. But let's go to Keith in Indiana. Keith, how are you tonight?
Yes, I'm fine. I was listening to this story earlier. It reminded me, I'm thinking it's about 7 years back. Remember, there were two cases that broke. Some white guys dragged a black guy to death in Texas behind a pickup truck.
It's got to be James Byrd.
Yeah, they had it on the news for a year. Also, some whites beat a homosexual to death, I think, in Idaho, and that went on for a year. At the same time, two homosexuals abducted a 12- or 14-year-old boy and abused him for 2 days, put him in a position where he suffocated to death. Local news, what national news coverage dropped. See?
Hang on just a second. Right. I'm late for break. Hold that thought. We'll be back right after this.
That's just a little bit more than the law of the lie.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
At the time of death, loved ones are forced to make many important and difficult decisions. Planning together allows families to avoid difficult decisions in the future and gives you peace of mind now. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is a new perpetual care cemetery located 1 mile south of Goodman Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Autumn Woods is the largest cemetery in DeSoto County and serves the entire DeSoto County, Memphis metropolitan area. Autumn Woods Memorial Park allows for a dignified and peaceful final resting place. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is locally owned and operated. The staff is committed to providing the best possible service at the most affordable price. Autumn Woods Memorial Park now has side-by-side lots starting at $600. Come by and visit our beautiful property, conveniently located at 6240 Davison Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi, or call us at 901-521-9520. You can also find us online at www.autumnwoodsmemorialpark.com.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264. And johnglia.com.
What time is it? Louis Louis time.
And now let's return to the political cesspool.
I was so engrossed in the conversation we were having in the last segment that I missed our countdown to break. It just goes to show that even the hosts enjoy the political cesspool. Hopefully you and the listening audience are doing so as well. Don't forget to check out our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. That's our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. There you can read much more and detail about all of the issues that we cover on this program there at our blog. Now, we're continuing on with Keith in Indiana. Keith brought up the instances of the James Byrd and the Matthew Shepard death. So let me be clear. Anytime that whites engage in this sort of malfeasance and reprehensible behavior, I want to see justice served to the fullest extent of the law. What I have a big problem about, though, is the fact that the roles are reversed, or in this case, the races are reversed on a daily basis, thousands of times over in terms of these violent crimes that the media loves to talk about in the very rare instances when European Americans are the perpetrators rather than being the victim. And most of the time, it's just absolutely imagined, such as the Crystal Gayle Magnum incident with the Duke lacrosse scandal. I mean, did you see the oppressive amount of media attention that hoax received? And then after it was proven to be a hoax, never so much as an apology was issued by this liberal and biased and anti-white, anti-American, anti-Christian media. But all that being said, off my soapbox and back to Keith, you were making a point before we had to go to break.
Well, you know, my point is this. I'm a white man. 14 years ago, people came to me and showed me the truth of the Bible. The white race is Israel, okay? They're formed of Adam. Just look up the definition of the name Adam. It's those who show blood in the face, those who blush red. We're the only family on the earth who does that. The Jews look white. They're the tares. The tares look like wheat, but they don't blush, and not Sephardic or Ashkenazi. Secondly, dispensationalism is our problem, and this goes back to the 1700s. The fullness of it came in the middle of the 1800s. The seminaries, there were still a few in the 1900s, but it was, you know, this goes way back. This is about changing a God of law into a God of grace. You see, our God is always a God of law, and he doesn't change. Of course, he doesn't have to change. He's perfect. Why would anyone perfect have to change? But they changed him. Now, when they did that, they opened it up to universalism. They were justifying what they'd been done for, you know, through the Catholic Church. My motto is this. I don't get my news from Catholics, Protestants, and Jews. I'm Christian. I'm a Bible believer. Protestants are still 90% Catholic. They're universalists. They're covenant breakers. I tried to have a conversation with Ted Pike, even. He labeled me a British Israelite and hung up. He didn't let me respond. You know, you see, these guys who go to seminary have their minds poisoned. When you read the Bible and believe every statement in it, you can find the truth. If you go to seminary, they're going to teach you dispensationalism, changing God. Right. But it goes way back, because Bullinger, I've got his companion Bible. Read his appendix. He adds to the Bible all over the place. You see, we're not allowed to add or take away from anything written in the Bible. That's the only way I'll ever hear the truth of it.
Keith, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but once again, we find time for a commercial break. Thanks for the call. Thanks for making some very good and valid points. I know Pastor Pete Peters would agree with you. We got 5 seconds to break. We'll be back with more in the Political Cesspool right after this.
Don't go away. Hour number 2 of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
Future would be with